Wednesday, January 28th. Memorial of St. Thomas Aquinas, Doctor of the Church. The first reading from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 4 through 17. That night the Lord spoke to Nathan and said, "Go tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, should you build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day on which I led the children of Israel out of Egypt to the present, but I have been going about in a tent under cloth. In all my wanderings everywhere among the children of Israel, did I ever utter a word to any one of the judges whom I charged to tend my people Israel to ask, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, speak thus to my servant David, 'The Lord of hosts has this to say, it was I who took you from the pasture and from the care of the flock to be commander of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you went, and I have destroyed all your enemies before you. And I will make you famous like the great ones of the earth. I will fix a place for my people Israel. I will plant them so that they may dwell in their place without further disturbance. Neither shall the wicked continue to afflict them as they did of old, since the time I first appointed judges over my people Israel. I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also reveals to you that He will establish a house for you. And when your time comes and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your heir after you, sprung from your loins, and I will make his kingdom firm. It is he who shall build a house for my name, and I will make his royal throne firm forever. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And if he does wrong, I will correct him with the rod of men and with human chastisements. But I will not withdraw my favor from him, as I withdrew it from your predecessor Saul, whom I removed from my presence. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall stand firm forever." Nathan reported all these words and this entire vision to David. Haydock Commentary. David was denied the privilege of building a temple because he had been so much engaged in war. The prophecy partly relates to Solomon, but much more to Christ, who is called the Son of David in Scripture, and the builder of the true temple, which is the Church, his everlasting kingdom, which shall never fail nor be cast off for any iniquity of her children. God passes over all the children whom David had already at that time. The spiritual kingdom of the Messiah will last till the end of time and be perfected in eternity. In these predictions, we must always distinguish the type from the reality. Where is now the house of David? Or how is this accomplished except in the Church? David saw Solomon on the throne and beheld the Messiah in spirit. The Gospel from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. On another occasion, Jesus began to teach by the sea. A very large crowd gathered around him, so that he got into a boat on the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he taught them at length in parables. And in the course of his instruction, he said to them, "Hear this. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it produced no grain. And some seed fell on rich soil, and produced fruit. It came up and grew and yielded 30, 60, and 100-fold. He added, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." And when he was alone, those present along with the 12 questioned him about the parables. He answered them, "The mystery of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to those outside everything comes in parables, so that they may look and see but not perceive, and hear and listen but not understand, in order that they may not be converted and be forgiven." Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand any of the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear, Satan comes at once and takes away the word sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground who, when they hear the word, receive it at once with joy. But they have no roots, they last only for a time. Then when tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Those sown among thorns are another sort. They are the people who hear the word, but worldly anxiety, the lure of riches, and the craving for other things intrude and choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But those sown on rich soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Haydock Commentary. Several reasons may be assigned why our Lord made use of parables. First, the lively imagination of the Orientals made them relish these figurative expressions, which awaken the attention and exercise the understanding. Second, the indisposition of his hearers made him frequently veil his instructions under similitudes or parables. But in private he expounded the meaning to his disciples, who were better disposed, and he was ever ready to give every necessary and satisfactory explanation to as many as sincerely wished for it. A third motive, given by St. Matthew, was the accomplishment of the prophecies, for one of the characteristics of the Messiah was that he would express himself in this parabolical manner, and Jesus Christ was pleased that the most minute circumstances should be fulfilled in his person, in order that the resemblance between him and the ancient prophets, in the mode of instructing, might induce the Jews to consider him as the great prophet foretold by Moses. There are few Christians that do not dwell with delight and improvement on our Lord's parables. Their imagination, warmed with the singular beauty of the imagery, more easily retains them. And the greatest geniuses have ever esteemed them as very superior and striking lessons of morality and religion. From the parable of the sower, we see the different success of the word of God from the different dispositions of the hearers, and we find that only 1/4 part of the seed produced fruit. We may thence infer how many and how great are the obstacles in the way of salvation, and how few will be the number of the elect. The difference of the fruits is the difference of merits here in this world, and of the rewards hereafter, according to the diversity of states. We are also taught that not all, but only such as have had the sense of the Scriptures open to their understanding from above, can properly understand them. The apostles themselves were in ignorance till Jesus Christ gave them the true meaning. It is God who speaks in the Scripture, and it is God who gives us to understand what is therein delivered. His truths he conceals from the proud, while he reveals them to the little and humble. How can any person pretend that the most mysterious and the most sacred book in the world is open to every understanding? St. Paul in Acts 13 tells the Jews that although the Scriptures were read to them every Sabbath day, their very rulers did not understand them. And St. Peter in his second epistle assures us that there are many passages hard to be understood. All comes from God. It is he who opens our ears to hear, our heart to believe, and our mind to understand. Hagar was near a well, and yet she wept because she had no water to give her son to drink. God opened her eyes, and she saw the well that was close to her. Thus, says Origen, we may read the Scripture and find no nourishment for the soul unless God opens our mind to see therein on what we are to nourish it. It contains salutary waters, but only those can be benefited by them who see how to drink of the heavenly source. It is the Holy Ghost alone who can effectually open our eyes to see these waters that spring up to life eternal, and this special grace we are to obtain by humble and fervent prayer. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. The mysteries of the kingdom of God are not disclosed to the scribes and Pharisees, who were unwilling to believe in him, though it was the duty and occupation of the scribes to expound the sacred oracles to others. But these mysteries are disclosed to those who adhered closely to Christ and believed in him. Let us therefore run in company with the apostles to Jesus Christ, that he may disclose to us the mysteries of his gospel. So says St. Thomas Aquinas. Can we then suppose for a single moment that the mere putting of a Bible in every man's hand will convert the world? The command given to the apostles and their successors in the ministry is, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." There is not a single word to them about writing. During 2,500 years from Adam to Moses, were the patriarchal families and other servants of God in a state of ignorance concerning either the positive instructions of the Almighty respecting the Sabbath day, the rites of sacrifice, or their moral duties? Yet there was no Scripture during all that period. For more than 400 years after Jesus Christ, the canon of Scripture, as now generally received, remained unsettled. Had the apostles and evangelists done nothing more than publish their writings and disseminate them to every pagan country, not a single nation and not a single pagan would have abandoned their gods to believe in a crucified Jesus. In punishment of their willfully shutting their eyes, God justly withdrew those lights and graces which he otherwise would have given them for their effectual conversion. We are not to understand as if he spoke in parables so that his hearers might not understand lest they should be converted, but we must learn the true sense from the corresponding texts in Matthew 13 and Acts 28, where our Savior and St. Paul render it thus, "With their ears they have been dull of hearing, and their eyes they have shut, lest perhaps they may see and understand and be converted." whereby it is evident that the speaking in parables was not the cause, for many besides the apostles heard and understood, but they themselves were the cause, because they would not hear and understand and be converted. And thus they were the real cause of their own willful and obstinate infidelity. And therefore also he spoke in parables, because they were not worthy to understand, as the others were to whom he expounded them.